All right. So, y'all set the tone. This is probably where the real, maybe, workshop learning begins, when you actually kind of go through the specifics of the lesson. We might stop and think about how realistic some of these plans are. Maybe there's a better class exercise to accomplish the learning objectives. Right? But remember, our goal is not to survive the class period as teachers. It's actually to... Or even look good as teachers, but rather, if you go out and they think that was the dumbest class I've ever been in, but they know a lot more than they did when they came in, you somehow you succeed. Let's hope that it didn't happen that way, but it wouldn't be the worst thing that could have happened. All right, so my lesson one, I need to set the tone for the course, some of the bigger picture framework, like the themes and goals for the course. I got to get to that. That's, for me, probably my primary purpose for the class. The next one, close to it, is to get all the background stuff out that you guys might need. So if you've been studying your material and it's important there's some background information that you'd love for the class to already know and be drilled on and all that, I'll make a note of that, try to work that in too. So, kind of framework for the class, and I mean by that themes and goals of the books, and then the background information. That's the primary purpose of this whole class period, right? Secondary, perhaps subliminal, what would you say, implicit, but not explicit purposes. I'd like to begin to set the expectations for class behavior, participation, involvement, like we do lessons. I'll have this worksheet handed out the Wednesday night before, so people will have it. And I will try in the class to indicate, hey, you should have filled out the top part of this or something, coming in. The other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have the chapter content exercise at the bottom. I'm going to have that, I'll have the lesson sheets out. And when people come in early, I hope somebody will, I'm going to have them go ahead and start on this chapter content exercise. You'll see that in my plan. And the point there implicitly is, hey, you know what? Let's all be on time. If you're here early, you get bonus stuff. You get a head start on things like that. So, y'all see what I'm saying here? So I'm really working on two levels. One is what is I want them to learn, and then the other is what behaviors do you want to reward. And the other thing about doing this is I'll probably have them work in groups on these chapter things, which is another way of warming up the idea that, hey, we work in groups here, and you also are allowed to talk in the class and talk to other people and that kind of thing. So I'm hoping to just, if y'all understand what I'm saying, just set the tone. I remember when we started the workshop, the first thing I did is I gave a list of teacher qualifications, right? And I had y'all go through it. You understand there was more to that than just learning that the New Testament has qualifications. It was like setting the tone. Here's how we work in here. We bring a pencil. We look at worksheets. We dive in and everybody gets involved. See what I'm saying? Y'all are not involved. I'm feeling like a failure right this minute. You're just staring at me. Okay, but you get what I'm saying here. That's what I'm after, right?
Yes, you get it.
Great. Oh, he's great. He's with us. He's on top of it. Great. Thank you. I sometimes ask the class just to do this, to everybody do this. It just makes me feel so much better. You know what I mean? Even though I'm just telling them to do it. It's like they're conscious. Can we do this? Yeah.
You did this. Why do you with the lesson one?
You probably have lesson one background and...
No, I have photos.
It's not the worksheet, it's the lesson. There's extra though.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. So let's look at the class planning worksheet. All right. Did you actually type yours up on the PowerPoint?
It was a Word document.
Oh, is it a Word document? How'd you do that?
It was a picture, but I just layered text boxes over it.
Oh, okay. So you did the hard thing. Somewhere in there's a PowerPoint that you can just type in there. It's the actual file. I made the bitmap of this and drew it in the Word document. That's unfortunate part of the document. Did y'all hear what we just discussed? So if you want to just handwrite it and go to the copy machine and make 12 copies, that's all you really need to do.
Nice.
But there are blank ones in that template that he's got. You can do that. That's probably easiest of all. But if you want to type it, All right. So the objectives. At the end of the class period, the students will be able to remember what makes a good objective is?
Definable.
Yes. It's measurable. Right. So how can I measure these? That's a question you should be asking yourself. Number two, can I accomplish it in the class period? Number three, does it aim toward my goals? The goals of the course, and then I talked to you about a little bit of my purpose of the class. Get the background information in their heads, both for the class as well as the epistles themselves. Okay. So, at the end of the class period, the students will be able to recall these facts. Timothy's hometown, journeys, mother and grandmother, family situation, job and location, Paul's circumstances, and the reason for each other. Reasonable? Okay. Number two, student will be able to list the chapters in Acts that provide information about Timothy's life. Okay. Really, 14 and 17 are probably the primary answers, but there may be another couple of places where we want to talk about. Just because we know he was with Paul and what did Paul do? Well, he went to Ephesus and met the elders, things like that. That would be the two. Give him a couple of copies of it. There's four sheets you should be able to hold. Third objective, list the four themes we'll use in the course. And I say four, I think we ended up with five. So either we can negotiate that or combine some, or we just go with five. Five seems like a lot, but that's okay. That should be editing on my I think I got the five themes somewhere else on the lesson sheet, but that's probably good. All right. Y'all remember the themes by any chance? You remember any of them? I don't see James. James sent me a Bible. I'll tell you about him. Yeah, you remember one?
Or is it the truth?
Yeah, that's right. And the idea there is how often the word, truth, doctrine, gospel, those kind of things. And so in our lives, how central is that to our thinking? And interesting, Paul was rambling again. So I got to stand. But interesting that Paul is telling Timothy that, and the revelation had not even been completed yet. Have you thought about that? We often say, well, he meant the Old Testament. Well, I think it's pretty clear that they were already treating Paul's writings and others as scripture at that date in the New Testament. So, anyway, thank you all for that. One, you may remember another theme.
Didn't we say, like, character development?
That's right. That is, develop yourself. And that's probably we should divide that into, you know, this kind of you know, being genuine and truthful and sincere, but also the skill side, right? So I'm going to stir up the gift that's within me. I'm going to, you know, take whatever talents I need to develop and work on those till I come give heed to teaching, I'm sorry, reading, what is it? The three things there. Anyway, reading, exhortation, and teaching, I think are the three. But that's the idea, right? Okay, we'll have to remember what they are. I'm not sure I can remember all five of them right now. I know there's some about evil, expecting evil, being prepared, meet it with right attitude, with the word as an antidote.
That's from the previous class.
Well, it was one similar we had too. It's some about evil, or expect conflict or difficulty or something.
Yeah, conflict and difficulty.
That was it, yeah. So, here they are. We'll learn them. And after this class period, let's hope even us will have them in our heads too. So, that's my goal. And then the student will be able to match chapters in both books with a brief description and content. Now, remember, we learned to do that with flashcards. It took about 5 minutes. So, I'm hoping I can just do that same thing for people in the class as well. All right? What are the activities I'm going to use? I'm going to do the before class matching exercise to start with that chapter thing. So if you notice down in the lesson sheet, and by the way, this is not quite the template. The template is supposed to have A and then 1, 2, 3 like that. So I'm going to fix that to make it match the lesson template. But anyway, down here under chapter content, I'm going to have that in the seats. When they come in, I'm going to say, fill in one of these summaries of the chapters and flip the page over, and here are your choices to choose at the top. See that? So I've made it fairly easy, just a matching exercise, and it's also help your neighbor kind of thing. So they could probably just kind of summarize. Several things happen. You got to open their Bible. They'll see where 1st, 2nd Timothy are in their Bible. Begin to see the text on the page. They'll probably notice the paragraph headings, which will help with this exercise, and that's okay. But you see the idea there. So I've tried to dumb it down, in a bad term. I've tried to simplify the exercise so they don't have to invent titles. They just have to match it to these choices. That, you think that'll work? Comments? Mm-hmm. And I want them to start early, right? So probably everyone will finish. There'll be several people who just get here or get here after the class starts. And somehow I'm going to make sure that they're, you know, have a chance. So maybe the flashcards later in the class period. Okay? Yeah, I don't like that either, just the way the pages came. So, but you're right, I should fix that.
Or maybe just put the key on the PowerPoint?
Yeah, actually, these questions, there's lots of spaces there. I would probably throw them out to have it there. Yeah, that's right, I could project them up there. But I think I want them on the sheet so when they go home, they'll have the
right
there. But the other thing is, you know, if I had them like over here and then the choices over here, they could just draw a line to them. And that would be kind of a quick way instead of having, although copying may have a learning advantage. So put answers on the same page. That's good. Yeah, I've got to figure the pagination out here. Okay. All right, so there we go. So activity number two, before they come, I'm hoping they'll look at the lesson. Answer the questions on the worksheet before class, right? And then I will take time to go over them. Part of the purpose of that is, of course, learn the facts. But the second purpose is to say, hey, you know what? You should have filled this in before you came. So try to set the tone for, hey, at least do the simple questions are easy. The text is right here. And you'll notice I put, you know, text from all over. Acts, 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy. So that I think most of the references are over there.
So as far as class expectation, though, this is the first class, new segment.
Right.
You know, a lot of significant part of your class participants made their decision 3 minutes before they walked into
class. That's right.
Said, oh, yeah, look at this.
So what are the classes?
I think I'll go to the Timothy class.
Right. So you want to make it
So just be aware of that. I mean, you know, you're going to get a lot of participation or things at the beginning or preparation, I should say. It's not the same as even class two or three.
By the way, is that going to be in the auditorium?
It'll probably be in here. You might, yes. Now, if 100 people want in the class, we'll do it in the auditorium. But if
I've been selling it constantly. It's not in the auditorium.
It'll either be here if it's, you know, to handle 25 people. Of course, we're 12 right here, so there we go. So that's this room. You can probably, if we have just 10 more people, we'll probably start outgrowing this room and go into that room. But I don't know. My guess is maybe we'll end up in that room.
And so how many of your family are
with you? Yeah, you think you talk to your wives or friends to come? I don't know if we want Michaela in here, man. She's a question asker. No, I'm just kidding. I hope she does. That'd be a good experience for you guys.
And it seems like the class planning, I just envisioned it in a smaller class. Are there any major changes versus auditorium versus small class?
Oh, man.
No.
So, yeah. Auditorium? I mean, we might as well go jump off a bridge, you know.
Good. That's all I need to do.
So I would probably steer us out of there. And the reason is, I have tried hard and, you know, done group exercises, but it's kind of like pulling teeth, and you will also have, you'll just have the recalcitrant members that are just, they don't do group stuff. They don't bring a pencil. They just don't do it. That's just not what the church is about. You know. And it makes it sound like I'm bitter, but...
But that happens. I was like, that would be my other thought, because I'm in several classes where even, you know, class one for sure, even class six, seven, even class 12, you know, people show up and, you know, don't have a pen or...
Oh, yeah.
Read it.
Oh, no. So
it just happens.
Right. It's almost like it's not like bad and good. It's kind of like... In the auditorium, you're down here, in a law small classroom, you're up here, so you'll have maybe 90% will get involved.
Yeah,
and,
you know,
an auditorium, it drops to 10% or something.
Yeah.
But it's like that. And, you know, there, in the auditorium, what tends to happen, you'll have people that will speak out, but it's often the same three people. And so, you know, the defense for that, this is the kind of learning I was hoping in the workshop more. The defense for that is to start by having group exercises where somebody, at least you talk to your neighbor. All right, so now maybe a third of the whole class is actually thinking and talking about what you want them to think and talk about, right? You know what I mean? As opposed to nobody but the one person who will speak up. Well, that's better, you know, for a while. But in our terms, it's just hard. People spread out. They don't like the group stuff too much because they have to get up and move or talk to somebody they don't know. Whereas in a smaller class, they probably all know each other.
Not after the first class, whenever they know the expectations of the class and what it's going to be like.
That will be kind of my purpose. Again, I'll say something explicitly, like, guys, bring a pencil, you know, or when we have group stuff, just do it. Do it quick and we go. And they learn. You'll notice if you teach a class, and this will be like that. The first time you do it, that's how I want to do it. You can start before class saying work with each other. It's kind of awkward. There's a lot of, like, entropy, and I don't know what we're supposed to do, and, you know, kind of defensive comments like, oh, yeah, Marty's always making us do hard stuff, or whatever. But by the third or fourth class, everybody's used to it. Okay, humor the teacher, just do what he says. He's going to keep doing it. We can't stop him. You know, that, so you, it'll work out. If you're teaching a class somewhere, you should be thinking about that the first class period. Come in and arrange the chairs like you want to, right? Especially if it's not this room, which gets used for other things. But even that, we've done it, right? I don't know if you like this arrangement or not. I do. I think it's helpful. I think it gives us all a kind of more equal footing. But you may want to put the room in a way that people are naturally in groups. They're blocked together in various places.
So what do you think about an attendance sheet? Knowing who's attending, not...
What do you think?
Well, I like it. But part of it is that what you'll find is everything you just explained about class number one.
Yeah.
If you have a class of 25 people, there will be 9 new people on the second class, 9 to 10.
Yeah.
And 3 or 4 have dropped out. And kind of knowing and that.
Does that decay over time? I think it does.
It does. Yeah, it starts to settle in. Right, you recognize the pattern, and you recognize that in the 25 people, the 18 that are going to be there virtually every single class. Yeah.
You hear what he's saying. When you make your lesson copies, you have to make it for, if it's a side class, 50% more than there are ever people in there, because you get that churn. So in the auditorium, you make double, because they don't bring it back. I think they feed it to their dog.
But if there are things that I want everybody to know, this is how the class is going to be conducted, the things we're going to do, I may have to, all the way into class 2 or 3, still be explaining or reviewing a few of those things because of the new people coming in.
That's right. So, just thinking about a role sheet, does the role sheet, in a way, help with setting some expectations for people? I think it does. I'm kind of interested in what's the effect on the class. Which means you can't just have a secret role sheet that you take and nobody knows you're doing it during the group exercise, you know, where I think maybe pass it around or where so-and-so, you know, call out a name that somebody hadn't been here in a while or something like that. And what you're doing with that, I think, is saying, you know what, this is a Sunday, Wednesday class, you know, and really we all need to be here. And the other thing that I will try to do, I'm making all these promises, I'm going to break half of them. But I will say, there are at least 3 ways for you to get copies of this lesson. I'll have them on the table out there in paper, right? They're on the website under Adult Class Material. I will share with you the Dropbox site where they are, and you can email me last resort, and I'll send it right back to you within just an hour or so. You know what I mean? What am I saying with that is, you put effort into getting the lesson, and I'll help you. It's not impossible. So just kind of bring up, you know, the level of expectation. Oh, I forgot to pick up a lesson. No. There's 3 more ways that you can do that. So that's kind of the idea.
And a lot of this is the stuff that I explicitly remember doing in grade school Bible classes. But as soon as I hit adulthood,
oh, no.
That stuff kind of drops off. Yeah. In most classes, it drops off. the expectation to have stuff done before class drops off, like all this drops off, so it's almost like you're driving a culture change within the congregation of, all right, we're going to take this serious. This is these expectations.
That's kind of
and if you're here, you have things to do. And I'm sure there are people that have come in the first class, and you're like, well, have you, let's get in groups and talk about the things we prepared beforehand, and they're like, uh-oh, I need to go, you know? Or they disappear.
Although, actually, people who will take the trouble to come from the auditorium and come into a side study class are generally those who will, you know, more likely will do it, yeah. But you're right, and it's a culture that over time the church has to continue to prop up, so we don't get this regression thing where you're a great student until you get out of high school, and then after that, you know. But, I love going down and teaching the middle school and high school because they don't know any better than to, you know, feel somewhat accountable, you know. Hey, let me see your lesson sheet. You can say that to a high school kid. You can't say that. I mean, you can. You can take the chance if you want to. But, anyway. Okay, so I'm taking too long. I'm going to leave for some time. So here's what I'll do. For class, the theme discovery exercise, you'll see where that's going to be where. Actually, I'm going to have clocks of verses. You'll see on the back what it will look like. This is the old material, so these are the old themes, but I need to go back and do that. So I'll have clocks of verses here, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You'll see I just say update for the new themes here. And what I'll do is I'll take maybe, I don't know, this is could be a long exercise, but maybe 5 or 10 minutes. I'll be about that budgeted for that. It's not enough. 10 minutes, yeah. And you know, working groups. And there's another, you know, there's a couple of implicit purposes for that exercise. You see where I'm down to 10-minute exercise here? The other thing about that is I like the idea of them kind of holding the pages and looking at the text in their own Bibles. Just starting to get a feel for where is it on the page, you know, what are the headings, those kinds of things. So just a sense of feeling the text and seeing and reading. Okay, so before class, chapter content matching. At 5 minutes in, I'll have the prayer, 8 minutes, then that'll be 5 minutes to go through all the expectations and lesson one objective. Then I'll take 8 minutes to do the directed questions on Timothy's life, 3 minutes on a quick quiz of the facts just to see if we've got it, just a quick review. I can leave that out if I'm getting behind, not do the quiz. I've just covered it. We'll have the quiz at the beginning of the next period. Right, Corey? And then 3 minutes, just to kind of think about Timothy. What are challenges he would face in Ephesus? He's a young guy. There's false teachers. They're probably older than he is and all that. And then the 10-minute drill on grouping the themes. I'm sorry, the theme groups of verses to try to come up with themes that match those. Then from that, I want to go and say, okay, if those are the themes, how do they apply to us? And now we'll just take a few minutes to just show up with the overhead. Here are the goals and see how they match. Timothy had to develop his talents. Do we have to develop our talents? Timothy had to face difficulty. Do we have to face it? You know, kind of make it into the course goals. If I have time down there, I'll have 4 minutes for the flashcard drill like we did before. If I'm behind, which I probably will be, I won't do it. And then 4 minutes of bookkeeping, Corey, hand out your lessons and all that. All right. I love this discussion we had, probably better than critiquing.
Did you say you wanted a quiz about the stuff that you went over?
Sure.
Pre-class?
Yeah, if you got time.
I mean, that'd be helpful, because everything we're going to do is going to build on each other.
Make it pre-class. Okay. Print it on half sheet of paper with all those questions, and then if they come early, they get to do it, right? And if they didn't come early, you're going to go over it, and you're going to do it in like 1 minute. Finish, you hear all the right answers.
Yep.
Mike, the flashcard drill that you do, do you recommend that sometimes?
We
do it in our classes
as well. Yeah. How long do you think it takes? Can you do that in 2 minutes, roughly? And we tried some things with that. One is somebody answers, they can't answer anymore, right? That's one way. Or you say, don't answer, give everybody 5 seconds to see if they can think of it in their own brain before you actually say the answer. And of course, the other thing is scramble them up, show the words and not the numbers and not the words, you know, just do it different ways. But that's helpful. But that's a piece of memory work. I have it as my objective, one of them. I'm not sure, match chapters with a brief descriptions. They might be able to, but it'll be all in short-term memory. And so that means when they come back, they won't remember. You guys had the same experience, right? We learned them all. 1 week, you got them. Like 5 minutes, you learned them all. When you came back, there's been some decay in memory. James sent me this video about the forgetting curve. And man, did that bring back memories. There's no pun intended there. My dad, that was his big deal. And every, you know, he used to go do these teacher training things, and he'd start, humans are good at one thing.
Forgetting.
Right. And he'd draw this curve. And he, you know, he'd draw the curve. He'd say, we remember, after a period of time, 10% of what we hear, he'd draw this curve. You know, you heard it, you remember it. Like a second later, you got all of it. But by a day later, you're down to 10% decay. We remember 20% of what we see in here. This wasn't in James's name, but the 10% was. And then we remember 30% of what we say and read and hear. You know, so he draws another curve. And then we remember 50% of what we say and hear and do. You know, so, you know, this is his method of saying, you know, get people involved. That sticks it in their head more firmly. But still, it's only 50%. You know, even with all the help she can do. So, all right, Corey, you're
quick.
Yeah.
Question? I was just going to, of all the stuff on here, it's so well organized. What is the one activity in here that you, like, nail? Like, when you do it, like, you feel so confident you're going to nail it in terms of time and in terms of content. Is there anything
that's
on here
that question.
Is sticky? Like, you feel like, this never hits the way I want it to hit. I'm just kind of curious. Because you've been doing this for a while.
So I think I taught a class more or less on this plan once before, not too long ago, in our Timothy class we had probably 3 years ago. I'm hoping that middle section, the open discussion on the challenges and the theme verses, that's kind of the heart of it. But it's probably the most difficult to do, right? Because the themes are a little bit abstract. Well, y'all remember what it felt like to try to come up with themes from a bunch of kind of random verses and stuff. That'll probably be the hard one to do. That doesn't mean I'll nail it. So it means I'll probably run out of time. Or I'll reduce myself, which is typical, to just lecturing. Right? I'll just fall back to saying, okay, alright, we're out of time, here are the answers. You know, you didn't read my mind just right, so I'm gonna tell you what you know. So anyway, yeah, good question. The chapter content will go well. It's fairly easy. It's matching. And I want to have a successful exercise at the very beginning. Because so that makes it fairly easy. I think, hey, you did okay. This is going to be okay. And even the directed questions on Timothy's life, a lot of people already know that. So they can show that off, and then the quiz would help them, confirm that they've learned something already. So that's helpful. By the way, that's something you're also trying to do. You actually, sometimes people don't realize they've actually learned something. That's one of the things about the flashcard I think is really cool, is that you can almost see a sense, I'm revealing the way I think about it, but I almost see a sense of pride when people know all of it just like that. And we just started on it like a few minutes. You know what I mean? And I think it does help. People go out thinking, yeah, I actually can name what's in every single chapter in both books. Y'all know that feeling? Well, if I can give you that feeling, then there's a motivation. Let's keep doing it. Let's do some more things like that, you know. So you're kind of thinking on another, it's another order of thinking besides, yes, they learned it, but no, they know they learned it. And they're actually kind of, like, proud of that. And it's a useful thing. Discussion.
So should we start out with the lesson plan then?
I'd start with the planning. Yeah, yeah, just tell us what you're, and I don't have one. The extra rooms are over.
I think I placed one over
there. Okay, go ahead and start.
So I started with the objectives, which we probably all should start out with.
Yeah.
The objectives that I put may be a little bit more complex and can probably be boiled down a little bit more, especially like number two, or the second bullet point, explain the comparison of your traps and the fall draws between his former self and these certain persons. And the thought behind that is like, Paul is saying that he was a blasphemer as well. What's the difference between the people who, these certain persons
who are still that?
Yeah, who are still that in Paul.
Right. Okay.
And why Paul received mercy from God and all that stuff.
Okay.
Do
you want it to be a comparison or a contrast? See, my contrast
is... Well, the comparison is that they were both blasphemers, so they were persecuted.
That's implicit in the objective, but what's the contrast? What's the difference?
The contrast is that it seemed like Paul was truly acting from ignorance. He could claim to have that aim of the
charge. And he changed when he had a chance.
Right. Of the sincere faith.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to tell me the answers. I'm just thinking about this here. So maybe you just say, explain the contrast.
Okay.
All right, then, what do you got? Two types.
The negative teaching or contrast on, so the things that were the vain discussions, the speculations, the genealogies.
Yes, yeah. I have a vague recollection. There's something interesting about that phrase, contrasound doctrine. Like in the Greek, it's a simple word, but in English, we have to kind of have a redundant phrase or something. I'll take that. Okay, great.
And then number
y'all
one.
Y'all think these objectives are okay? Achievable?
Yeah.
We don't know what these answers are, but that's great. That's the point of the class. But they seem achievable.
Yeah, okay. Number one is the one that charges.
And that's right on the theme, right? That's under the theme of you have a duty. You have a, you know, develop yourself and, you know, take care of your mission, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the theme.
Outline.
I should bring the themes and put them up on this screen while we're talking.
I don't know if we need to spend too much time on the outline. You could argue that.
On the lesson?
Yeah.
Yeah, you make it what you want. The outline to me is a way primarily, really, just organizing the questions. Now, I have, teaching smaller books, made it an objective to memorize the outline down to some level. I think that's helpful. We've done that here by chapter. But do you want to go deeper or not?
No.
It's just it's organizing your lesson and the question.
The questions on the text.
Yeah.
So I have an A and B because I did that.
Perfect.
Yep. That thing. So I titled, I guess, part A, Timothy's charge against false or untruthful teaching.
Right.
So simple textual questions that you can pretty easily deduce from just reading the verses.
Yeah.
Number three, I actually kind of stole from what we did, right? Bare minimum implied qualification for a teacher. Okay. Verse 7.
Yeah. Great.
And then the Christ came to save part that talks about God's mercy and Paul himself being a blasphemer. How does he describe his former self? The qualities you think are most prevalent of God that you see in there, which his mercy and grace is very, very abundant in that section.
Let me ask about the handout itself. Do you want the students to try to go ahead and do the thought analysis questions before they come?
So, that's a good question because some of the activities that we do, it says, like, discuss and try to answer that. Because I don't think everybody's going to have those thought questions answered. And maybe if they did, they might have some other thoughts that would be helpful. So.
So yeah, my suggestion is decide and then put on the sheet. We will cover in class. Or think about these before class. Do you hear what I'm saying there? I'm giving you some air, some space. You don't necessarily have to get them all the way, but read through them at least and give it a little. Or whatever. Write an essay on each of these and bring it to class for a grade. You know, what do you want? You know, just set the expectation so there won't be confusion.
Yeah.
And really, the other thing is, you'll have, keeping Russ's comment in mind, that you'll have a whole bunch of new people to say the class period. But the first class period, if I'm right and give you three or four minutes, you actually could be able to say, look at the lesson sheet on the thought analysis questions, do number one and don't worry about two and three. All right? I mean, or whatever you want to say, right? So you can put it on the sheet, but you can also use time in the class to be explicit about that.
Yep.
I would always err on the side of over-explaining. If we do group activities, I think it's very helpful. Like on the theme thing, I need to make a worksheet. It's so clear. Like here are the verses, here are your theme choices or something. Because there's 10 minutes of class, we can't waste time for them trying to figure out what is the next thing. Are we supposed to make these up ourselves? You know what I mean? Are we doing all of them? Or are you doing one word? You know what I mean? Put it on the sheet, like, so here, so they forget, they can read it, right? The other thing is, you are still in the classroom, and part of the great benefit of group exercise, I think I already said this, is I'm listening in. Are they getting it? Are they confused? Are they talking about football? You know, I need to know all that, so I can always stop and say, hey, listen, here's the way, I didn't do the explanation well enough, so here, let's try it. You know, whatever you need to do, so. Sorry, so keep going.
Yeah. So I tried to build the questions up, so the text questions are like just the facts.
That's
and
good.
The facts kind of lead into these thought, but
right.
That's not necessarily application yet, or like the goal
right.
that you
right.
want for the class.
Yeah. So you have an activity to kind of move toward that.
Sort of, yes. Okay. That's the hardest part.
Yeah, it is.
And the application questions, I feel like that's really what the immeasurable. I want the it, most of it's written almost in a what's it called rhetorical way, where they ask those questions in their mind and get to thinking about it.
Yeah. So question two, for example, I always do have this problem. Question two, the answer is
yes.
Yes.
It's the answer.
I'm done.
Yes. Yes.
So explain.
Yeah.
You know, just put an extra thing to say.
Okay.
Any yes or no question? I mean, if you want them, you need to think. Okay, why? Yes or no? Okay, say a little bit.
Yeah.
Are you an advocate of very blatant no? I mean, like telling someone something that is purposely not accurate to goad your participants to come up with the right answer.
I am, but I think it needs to be in a setting where they kind of expect you to do that every once in a while.
Right.
So if you've not done that ever,
you're
4 class periods in and you start explaining, you know, some false doctrine just to see if anybody
No.
That's probably not.
People of course, maybe. Of course, with a slight maybe, yeah.
But no,
that's the right way. And
that's
just
good.
To get people
and maybe the first time you do it, you kind of open your eyes wide and you stand differently so it's clear you're play acting.
The group's dead, like, just not staying.
Good question. All right. Lesson sheet looks great. I would just point out with regard to the text, and maybe you're going to cover this, and I think you had this when you were talking about the charge, but it's like there's like a couple of excursions in here. Like, what's this all this stuff about the law? Who is for? And then Paul goes into a short, you know, autobiography. But really, if you look, he says in verse 12, he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. And then jump to verse 18, this charge I entrust to you. So it's almost like, well, what's all this stuff in the middle about? Right? Both in the lawful, you know, use for the law and then this autobiography. Is that in your... Are you going to talk about that?
I mean, there is a connection. I'm making the connection between, like, the law and then what Paul starts to talk about next.
Okay.
Because he's saying, like, you're held accountable to the law and all that stuff. And then he says, well, I broke that law.
Okay.
But if you break the law,
and I don't know the right answer to this question. I mean, my simple answer might be, this is a personal letter. And Paul's just writing things down as he thinks it. And if he goes down a rabbit hole, that's probably the way he would talk to Timothy if they were sitting, you know, across the table. But that doesn't quite explain the relationship. And I think Paul knew this would be left for others to read and benefit from, so that connection might be important. But to me, that's a challenge in this first chapter, textual.
Truly. But I would bold and increase the size of the lesson to at the top, because I want anybody who grabs the sheet to immediately know what it is.
Yeah, I like that. The template, I think, had 14 points on the titles. And maybe we need to left justify so you got all the room you need, you know, without running into the text block.
Yeah.
There's a lot of text in there.
Yeah.
Do you find it easy to manipulate the text blocks out of the PowerPoint?
I just copy and paste that from online, actually.
Oh, okay. You did it yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
So there is on the Dropbox, there's the text boxes are all in there. And the good thing is you can play with the box size, and when you do, the text will expand or do whatever. You can still change the font size. So once you get your lesson in Word, you can go grab that. I usually get it in the shape I want, make it a bitmap, and then use the picture tool to decide, do I want it tight, do I want it over the top, however you want it.
Yeah, that was the hard part. I was trying to keep it on one page, and then I just gave up.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're running out of time, which one out of these activities?
He's got dots. He's got actually two dots of us.
It's perfect.
Because it is tight, and like I know you left 4 minutes for handing out the lesson.
Yeah.
I guess probably in preparation for the next lesson.
Well, remember too, he has 47 minutes, you have 45.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds weird, but on Sunday mornings you get two extra minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So, you don't get on Wednesday.
Okay, I didn't even think about it.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
All right, walk us through the class period.
Yeah, so the objectives are the same, right? Activities, I found this very, very, very difficult. And a lot of it
very what?
Difficult.
Difficult.
Coming up with activities that go deeper than just the factual kind of full thing.
Right.
Whereas lesson one, there's a lot of fact finding and stuff like that. So I feel like activities are a little bit easier when you're...
Maybe.
Maybe not. But
so let me just say this to you guys. Part of the purpose of this workshop is to push you to try weird things. Just try it. And learn from it, right? Hey, I said this at the very last of the question. This is like calling a play in football, right? Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Does it ever work out that way? You know, like, you know, plays in football are very complicated. Every single person has a blocking assignment, has a pattern to run, some go in motion before the snap, blah, blah, right? When you get up there and the defense is not lined up like the playbook said they're supposed to, they just didn't do it right. And worse than that, the linebacker's running around like he might just blitz and not actually cover the middle. You know what I mean? You never really know. And the pocket doesn't form like you think it's supposed to. You understand what I mean? Well, you still run the play, kind of, right? But there are things you don't do, like the, you know, there's double coverage over there in the flats, and that's where the pass was supposed to go. Well, okay, the guy still runs his route, but then somebody else should be open, you know what I mean? So it isn't that you don't call a play. Of course you call it, and the more detail, the better. But it isn't that you run that play exactly either, right? So there's kind of an adaptation. That's what it feels to me. And after every class period, I think, well, that was a disaster, this particular exercise. Well, this one worked okay. You know what I mean? And you start to learn from that, and the class learns too. So. Yeah, try something different, you know. Maybe
there's something I want to add in there. I just need to figure out what that is. Yeah. A lot of it's just the
stuff. So you'll know in gymnastics, if you do a triple tau salad or something, you get extra points for trying it, right? Because of the level of difficulty. Now, if you fall on your face, then you don't win. Okay.
Number one is just kind of the introduction. So going over those class goals and the themes, and then point that this is the theme you're going to see most prominent in the section.
That's right.
So just have that in the back of your mind. And then the next one is an open discussion.
Although I think the charge, you mentioned that in your first objective. You might make sure that's prominent too. I'm critiquing content. That's not my goal this morning. It's not to critique the content, but just the planning. I really think the other theme that needs to be get hammered at the very beginning, chapter one, the initial charge is what we're calling chapter one, the flashcards at least. So make sure that's covered.
Yeah. And then the next kind of activity is like an open discussion. Define sound doctrine from either what you know about the Bible or what you have in your head.
Okay.
And then directed reading from this section, define sound doctrine. And what they'll actually come up with is probably negative examples of how to define it.
Probably right.
And so the third activity, another way, instead of just thinking of it as a charge, but I was thinking of the analogy of aiming for like a goal, right? You're on a course, and he uses verbs like swerving and then shipwreck. So like you're actually getting a car wreck or something like that.
Yeah.
And I want to create like an image of the different offshoots where you can swerve, whether it's the genealogies or even the blasphemies that it talks about them.
Fables, wives' tales,
all that stuff's good. But if you stay on the goal, like this is where you're ending up.
Similarly, I think we probably need to address what are our modern day analogies to fables or genealogies or old wives' tales.
Yeah.
We don't have genealogies we worry about. That's not the so you got some memory.
Yeah, that's the application. And actually, that's the next activity. So if you see this 2 minute one,
yeah.
So I'm going to start talking about a little bit of like the Greek gods and why they maybe go into fables and all that stuff. And talk, I saw on Wikipedia, like it was supposed that Virgin Mary was spending her last years of her life there, and how that has a lot of Jewish. Like, the point is, we're getting into main discussions at this point. It doesn't matter about all that stuff. What is Paul really trying to say here? And so, kind of doing like an ironic lecture to prove out that you can easily slip into these things.
That's right. In fact, the attraction is that I know something you don't know, and you wouldn't know if you only studied the Bible.
Right.
This is something extra that I know.
Right. And so I can take that out or leave it in.
No,
it's fine. Depending on time, yeah. Directed reading to answer OPEC questions. So I hadn't prepared the OPEC questions yet. But yeah, so that relates to
where is that in the activity system?
Discussion of law, 7 minutes.
Okay, there it is. Have students read 6. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So you're going to focus that, and you're going to read it, or you going to have someone else read it?
That's a good point. I probably have somebody else.
Prepare them beforehand. Pick a good reader.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
And then similar, I want to do a Venn diagram activity with the class, and we don't have a whiteboard, so I guess I'm going to have prepared points, right? And if they hit the point, then great. If not, then I'll just skip through it really quickly, depending on if there's time or not.
There is a way to draw on PowerPoint, as you know, but you can't really write.
Yeah, I can't really
write. You can only kind of make symbols, but a Venn diagram might work, and there is a blackboard in that room. So if we end up in there, you'll be able to do that.
So this goes back to that objective, right? To explain the comparison and contrast.
Right.
I'm going to bring back, and then discuss God's mercy, because that's that whole section, and then refer to those questions and really flush those out, whether they come prepared before class or if you do it during class, I can figure that out. Bringing back the car imagery one more time to talk about Aeneas and Alexander, about them making a shipwreck or a car wreck of their faith, to discuss the thought analysis question number 4. And then finally, really I want to hammer home application point 3 within the main 5 minutes. Which was us
perfect,
being
perfect.
Yeah, us having
how we
retard.
Yeah. You know, you're getting real close to that flow of learning, like understand an application I can make in my life, right? Not necessarily repentance or, you know, habit forming, but maybe you say, hey, why don't you write down the things God's entrusted you with? In other words, kind of make somewhere near the end a very personal thing. You write down the charge, the roles you have, and what would success look like in that role? Just as a way of kind of, you haven't changed anybody, but you get them closer to say, oh yeah. Yeah, I'm a granddad. What is my role? What am I trying to accomplish as a granddad? Or a deacon? Or a husband?
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That's just another activity. Like writing
it
down, but remember.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But it brings them into the application personally. I've always felt the ideal Bible class would end with this. Write down what you're going to do before next Tuesday. Tell the person next to you, and then you all call each other before Tuesday and see if you've gotten it done. You know what I mean? Like push somebody right to this, like, no, I'm really doing this, and, you know, whatever it is. So then you have a little bit of feedback that I did really change my life for 2 days.